Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to be along with you. Ryan Thomas sitting there at the controls as always. Good day to you, sir. We are 6 days away from our fall share. You're well aware of that.
It is pretty exciting. I was being able to listen to some of the stories that we've gathered from folks who've called in and talked about how Faith Radio has impacted them, and it's pretty humbling and pretty cool to see how God is at work.
Listener-supported ministry all across the Upper Midwest, our six-station network, and online anywhere at myfaithradio.com. And so next week, we'll be talking about the financial needs of the ministry and giving you the opportunity to partner with us once again and just to hear testimonies of lives that have been impacted as we seek to advance God's kingdom here through radio. So,
not just information, it's transformation, like you said.
Today's program could be transformational.
Yes,
I think. Because we're going to be talking about some of the differences between success and significance.
All those, you kind of think of those two as being somewhat synonymous, don't you?
Well, maybe they are. We'll find out. But we want to talk with someone who is a good friend of Faith Radio. We've had her on Connecting Faith before, and we're just so glad to be able to bring her back in a new capacity, of which we're going to talk about. But let me introduce Kathy Peel to us. Kathy is the director of the Halftime Women's Initiative. More on that to come. Award-winning author whose 21 books have sold over 2 million copies, books such as Desperate Households, Be Your Best, The Busy Mom's Guide to a Happy, Organized Home, which I think was one of your favorites, isn't it, Ryan? No, maybe not. She founded the Family Manager brand and the Family Manager University Online Training Center for Coaching Certification, which to date has graduated more than 400 women. And she's been a regular for many years on programs like Oprah and Today's Show and Folks from the Family and articles in the New York Times, Washington Post, Women's Day, and Family Circle, all those. AOL appointed Kathy its family coach and served as a spokesperson for national brands. And so there's a lot of things we could be talking with Kathy about, but one of the things that we want to talk about is kind of her journey in life that has brought her to this new place as director of the Halftime Women's Initiative. And Kathy, let's just get caught up again. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. So glad to have you on today.
It is so good to be with you, Neil. Love your show.
Last time, I think we were talking about, and it was probably about this time, it's back to school time, let's get our family organized, and that's been sort of your track that you were on for many years, just kind of helping us, manage the family. And do you still have that passion, or has that changed?
Well, I still have the passion to help women. And when I started writing, it's been over 20 years ago, my heart, God had put a passion in my heart to really help women become all that they could be as not only as disciples, but as wives and mothers and professionals if they had another career, and just to become their personal best as the way God made them, to become, just move towards that ideal of what God made. Now, we're not going to hit that ideal here on earth, but that's where we want to be moving. So I've been writing about family management for all of these years. And then about 4 years ago now, my sweet parents, part of my job as a family manager, it fell to me to become caregiver for my mom and my dad, and they were two states away, okay? And so I started curtailing the number of speaking engagements and interviews that I would do to take care of my wonderful parents. And, Neil, I tried not to let it consume me, okay? I tried to hang on to, the person God had made me to be, but when you are caring for two elderly people, and their health is going downhill, and then you have to start managing all of their health. And there's a lot to manage when you have like five doctors for each one and all the medications, and you're two states away, and you're trying to do this long distance and then going back and forth, traveling all the time. It was pretty exhausting. And as God in his sovereignty, about 2 years ago this time, he took them both home within 12 days of each other. And so after mom and dad passed, I had executor duties. And all while this is going on now, the family manager brand, it's keeping on because there are family manager coaches out there helping people, all right? But I thought, well, you know, now that my assignment from God to take care of mom and dad is over, I'll just kind of step back into life. And I really found that I couldn't. I was very, very exhausted after living in kind of chronic stress for so long, you know, caring for mom and dad. And then I was looking forward to being a grandmom for the first time. And a few months after mom and dad had passed, our first grandbaby was stillborn. And I entered 2012 pretty much. I was physically depleted, emotionally numb, mentally dull, and spiritually dry. And I felt like I needed to just step back and say, God, okay, I need to know, do you have a purpose now for the rest of my life? And what is it? Because I'd lost passion, Neil. I think passion is a key for how God shows us what our purpose is, which is so, so important. So part of my seeking God and just really looking for purpose for my second half was I went to Halftime Institute. And I had read Bob Buford's book, Halftime, maybe 15, 16 years ago because we knew Bob and Linda. And when I read it, I thought, gosh, this is a great book, but it seemed like it was for men, and so I bought the book for at least five men with whom I worked. And so when I heard that there was a Halftime Institute, I signed up immediately, and then it's a two-day intensive workshop in Dallas with Bob and some very, very gifted and godly people. And then after that, you work with a very gifted and trained and certified halftime coach for a year. And the Holy Spirit, we count on the Holy Spirit in the halftime process to really help you to seek God's will and to clarify your purpose for your second half and understand at a deeper level who he's made you to be. And so during that process, Neil, I realized that I am still passionate about women and about helping them become all that God wants them to be as wives, as moms, and as grandmoms, as professionals, and to help them clarify their calling so they'll know what God wants to do with the rest of their lives, you know, after the nest is empty. So many moms, they give their lives to their kids, and then they're lost when the kids leave home. And I realized God gave me a new passion. It's for the same woman, but it's just at a different stage of her life now. She might be 40, she might be 65, but it's a very tricky stage of life. And when I started doing the research on women of this age, it was almost frightening because. Just a couple of statistics here. You know that boomers as a whole were the kind of late to adopt technology. Well, now they've adopted technology, and those boomers 50 and over are the fastest growing video game users in America. And the majority of those are women. And the average amount of time is 24.56 hours a week that they are playing online games. I mean, it could be, you know, when I read that, I thought, wait a minute, you know, I play Scrabble with my son in Waco, Texas. Could we make about one move a day? And I think that's fun. But when you're playing 24.56 hours, and that's the average, a week, that tells me that there are a lot of bored women who don't know what their purpose for the rest of their lives is. And then you read that the suicide rate among women, the biggest segment that has increased is women 60 to 64. And that makes me say, wow, what's going on there? And then it's always so interesting to me how scientists, they prove and they put out these research reports, and all it does is confirm what God told us in the scripture. But recently, the National Academy of Sciences put out a report. They've been researching the concept of happiness, okay? And they have done this on the gene level, okay? So we're talking medical researchers, and they have found that if a person pursues only happiness in life, it's very hedonistic. It's like, okay, what's the next thing that's going to make me happy? Maybe I'll go shopping today, and that'll make me happy. Or maybe I'll plan a trip. It's all about making yourself happy. If you do that without a sense of a larger calling and meaning in your life, scientists have found that pursuing happiness without your larger meaning and purpose in life does the same thing to your body at the gene level as living in chronic stress, which we know. That's just you're asking for really bad diseases. You know, it might be diabetes, it might be cancer, it might be high blood pressure. But that is, I just thought that was amazing that scientists figured that out. And have now, they have scientific evidence of that. But the deal is God made us for a purpose. And if we still have a pulse, we still have a purpose. And it's so important that we listen and learn what that purpose is, because that is how we're going to be fulfilled as human beings when we're doing what the Creator made us to do.
We can talk more about
it. I'll stop preaching.
Okay. we'll jump in and take an offering here before we get to the second. No, this is wonderful material, and I want to come back and talk more with Kathy in a moment. We'll talk about, some of the issues that the women are facing, those that are in the workforce that are dealing with the chronic stress, or maybe they're emotionally drained. And, how do we find that the purpose? What steps do we take? We'll find out more about the Halftime Initiative, the Halftime Women's Initiative. Kathy Peel directs that. We've had her on times in the past here in Connecting Faith, talking about her passion for helping families just be managed and organized. And has written 20-plus books and appears a lot on the TV, radio, and in the print, and we're happy to have her with us today. By the way, if you're in that, maybe in that place in life, kind of a halftime moment, we'd love to have you interact with us, and you could talk with Kathy, ask some questions about maybe next steps, or you have someone in your family that is facing some of these issues. Maybe it's the burnout or the meaning questions, and you'd like to just get some good answers. You can come on in at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. If it's more convenient to drop something on Facebook, you can do that. Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem. And we'll talk more with Kathy Peel about Halftime Women's Initiative in just a moment.
Elizabeth Elliot advised, "Remember, he married a sinner too." My friend Kelly responded, "Early on in marriage, I felt I was in a disaster pit, so I filed for divorce, but not before screaming to God, 'Fix my husband! Wasn't I the perfect wife? And why wasn't my husband seeing this and apologizing for his horrible behavior?' With only a few days before the divorce was final, God stopped me. It was while I was reading A Woman After God's Own Heart, when the scales from my eyes began to peel away. God's word to me, 'You let me worry about your husband. We need to talk about you, my daughter.' What? I have issues? I did, but through God, marriage counseling, and reading the truth, I was able to own my own junk, and amazingly, my husband owned his. It was humbling, but major change happens when we die to self. It's not easy, but worth it. I see good fruit from good choices, like going on 12 years of marriage. one of the best choices. Change direction by asking God, change me every day. For more encouragement, visit DebbieGriffith.com.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. Here it's 19 after the hour, and we're talking about the Halftime Women's Initiative from the Halftime Institute, founded by Bob Buford back in 1996. Kathy Peel is the director of the Halftime Women's Initiative. It's not just something for men in business. It's for women that really are looking to find their purpose and their place. And you know, we talked about some of those statistics, which are just pretty amazing in terms of how people looking for purpose and dealing with stress. Talk a little bit about maybe the woman in the workforce, because I think some of the statistics I saw, 40% of families with children, according to Pew Research, women are the top earners.
Yes.
You know, our colleges, our law schools, medical schools, all this just are filled with the women actively involved. But, as you talked about living with chronic stress, it seems like that's kind of been a byproduct, that we've got a whole generation of people that are just giving it all at work and paying the consequences, it seems.
Well, and God calls some people to be lawyers and to be doctors and to be dentists and to be teachers and bankers. And we need to be sensitive to that. But it is critical that we check, we assess our motives. Are we doing this only for financial gain? Is that the only reason we're doing it? And if so, burnout is just around the corner, okay, because it's very hard to stop working, because enough is never going to be enough. It is never going to be enough. And let me just say, I'm a baby boomer, and when I graduated from college in 1972, that's a long time ago, this is history for many of our listeners, okay? It was just the normal thing to do, to go out and get a job in a tall building, and so many of those women, my generation, they are now retiring, and they are lost, because they spent the first half of their life building a career, accruing wealth. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that if you're not asking, okay, God, I still have a pulse. What is my purpose? What do you want me to do now with my time, with my energy, with the experience that I have accrued, with the treasure that I have accrued? How do you want me to carry on your kingdom business? Because that's why he put us here on earth. And you can go back to Genesis and see that our mandate was to be fruitful, and it's great. I have a live-in theologian, my husband, which is helpful. But he says that word, be fruitful, it means bring the earth to fruition, to full blossom. You know, God could have created us and created mankind and with buildings and bridges and houses and everything all in place. He could have done that, but he didn't. He gave us the resources to make the earth a wonderful place to live, and we have a lot of good resources he gave us to do that, but he gave us minds. And so every job can be spiritual, okay, because we are carrying on God's kingdom. And so this whole concept of, wow, I can't wait to retire, I'm going to play golf 3 days a week, I'm going to play tennis 3 days a week. Listen, don't get me wrong, I love golf and tennis. But if that is your goal, if you just think retirement is a 20th century concept, all right? This is the first time in history that actually we have a choice. Humans have a choice about what to do, because really, it hasn't been that long ago before. It was always, okay, we've got to survive. We're trying to survive. And so now we have choices about what we're going to do. And if you don't sit down when you're in that midlife period and decide, okay, what do I want my second half to be like? It's going to be, I mean, it's almost predictable that you're going to retire and have this great, to say, oh, gosh, I can't wait. I'm just going to travel. I'm going to do all this. And your thrill of that is not going to last very long, okay, because God made us to work and to accomplish things. And so we will never be fulfilled, okay, if we're just, again, back to that study we mentioned, if you're just pursuing, oh, what's going to make me happy? What's going to make me fulfilled? If you're trying to do that, you never will be. But if you seek God's will and you clarify your calling and you know your purpose and you're doing that, wow, then you feel fulfilled and you feel God's pleasure. You probably remember that scene. It's so vivid to me in Chariots of Fire where Eric Liddell said, I feel God's pleasure when I run. You know what? God wants all of us to feel his pleasure when we are fulfilling our purpose here on planet Earth. Now, it's never going to be perfect because we live in a fallen world, but the more we pursue him and his purposes for us, the more we will experience that.
Kathy, Bob's book, Halftime, which is recommended reading. It'll be excellent. He's
Absolutely.
Written several others as well. But he talks about going from success to significance. So does it have to be, is it an either or can it be a both and?
It can be both and because, well, some people, they just spend the first part of their life trying to achieve success. And I confess, there were times in my life when I just got off track with what I was doing, and it was all about me and success and how many books can I sell and da-da-da-da-da-da. And that wasn't – I'm not proud of that year of my life. I'll just say that. But the deal is once you achieve – you set a goal, you know, whether it's book sales or, you know, I'm going to sell this much real estate or this – and you reach it and you think, oh, wait a minute, I thought that was going to make me happy. It never will be. It never will. And so a lot of people reach, you know, benchmarks in their life and they thought, wait, gosh, I feel like I ought to be more content and happy in life and joyous but because I have all this and I've reached what, you know, the world calls success. But they're not because they've really been doing it for the wrong reasons, and it's not until we realize, you know, that I mean, achieving a goal, the reason that feels good is because God made us that way, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. Goals are good. Success is good. It's when that becomes our ultimate, okay? And there's some people that get this earlier than others. I'm pretty late in the game, but I'm just thankful that God showed me. I mean, it's about doing significant things. And that what you're doing right now, if you know that you are called to be a great salesman. There are people that God gifted to do that. And if you are doing that and saying, God, I just want to be I want to bless people with what I'm selling and bless them and show that I care about their lives, then you're doing the right thing. Okay. I think you are. Now, if you're working 70 hours a week and your life is out of balance, it's time to assess. And I mean, assessment is always good. But, you know, Neil, I think we've gotten to where in the 20th century, actually there was an article about this, the 21st century, with all the, especially now that we're just so connected all the time, there's a syndrome called attention deficit trait. Now, this is not a physical thing, all right? And this was in Harvard Business Review a couple of years ago now. Attention deficit trait is why so many people in leadership positions can't perform to the best of their ability because they have so much data coming at them. And it's like that for all of us. When we have so much data, if we don't choose to disconnect from the world and to be quiet and still, then how can we connect with God? How can we connect in our families like we're supposed to? And in the community, we'll never become the people that God created us to be. And and experience that abundance and fulfillment and significance that he wants us to have unless we step back. And so that's one of the big things. One of my big lessons as I went through the Halftime Institute and then a year of halftime coaching, I saw the importance of pausing. And I like to take silent retreats. At first I thought, I don't think I can do this, but it proved to be very therapeutic to get away for 24 hours, disconnect from all electronic devices, and just try to learn to listen to God again.
Well, Kathy, let me I'll jump in, just say we have a little hard break coming up here, and I want to come back and we'll talk more about the importance of the pause, and I want to talk more about how to clarify your calling. We'll get into some of the value of the initiative and the coaching opportunities. And one of the things that the Halftime Initiative addresses is, you know, do you need to quit work to join a nonprofit? We'll get to that question and more with Kathy Peel, director of the Halftime Women's Initiative and the best-selling author and founder of the Family Manager brand, the Family Manager University. And our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you'd like to join in, we're back in 2 minutes. Too fast the hour. Glad to have you listening to Connecting Faith today as we're asking some of the questions. Maybe you asked the questions. What's next? And where's my meaning and purpose? How do I make my life count? I'm talking particularly for women and the great, well, I guess it's kind of, I think it's a new venture probably for the Halftime Institute. It's the Halftime Women's Initiative, and Kathy Peel is now the director of that. Kathy, for many years has been a best-selling author and a speaker and a conference leader. Has been on a number of the major TV and radio shows and in lots of print, and been a communicator traveling around the country. Founded the Family Manager brand and Family Manager University, and is now serving as director of the Halftime Women's Initiative. And Kathy, I guess just maybe for a clarification, is this something fairly new? That, I mean, the Halftime began kind of with Bob Buford's writing back in the mid-90s. But is this something that's relatively new because it's focused on women particularly?
The focus on women is. I think it just, what happened is the book became very, very popular. And then a lot of men were reading it. I mean, as I mentioned, I did read it, but a lot of men. And so they said, we need more help to live this out. And so the Institute was started. And it has been attended mostly by men, but maybe 15-20% by women. And so when I went through the Institute, I looked around and I thought, where are the women? Am I the only person who's having, you know, these halftime issues and questions about my purpose and calling? And it's just that now they are making a concerted effort, because it was just such a huge blessing and a tool that God used in my life. I want to bless other women and help them identify and fulfill their calling if they don't know what that is.
Well, Kathy, you mentioned just before the break, we're talking about, you know, actually taking a pause and doing a retreat, something that, you know, as a busy mom and a speaker and business owner, you know, that's kind of hard for all of us to do. But what happened as a result of that time of actually sort of listening to the Lord?
Well, I've become kind of codependent on doing that twice a year. I just find that I need to do that, just to disconnect. And you don't have to take a whole 24 hours if you don't have that. But just try. Start with maybe, some people have trouble disconnecting for like 15 minutes. If that's because they're just so dependent on, you know, well, you know, I need to check my email, I need to check my Facebook. I mean, I got to off all social media for a year, and so it's about finding its balance in everything. You know, back to the statistics I told you about, the boomers are playing so many video games now that you know, they've adopted technology, and but it's just too much. Anything, whether it, I mean, video games can help build your brain. I mean, that's what I'm all about right now is brain health at my age. And so a little bit is good. It's just like food. It's good. All good things are from God, okay? But when we misuse them, when we misuse things, whether it's technology or food or drugs, or I mean, all of these things can be they can be good, but it's misusing them. And so when people say, well, I don't have time to do this, I just, you know, just want to come alongside and give them a hug and say, just, okay, would you just kind of watch your how you spend the minutes of your day? Do you watch any television? Would it be more productive? And yes, the answer is yes. For you to maybe spend, instead of watching the news, just find a quiet place and just call out to God and say, God, I'm desperate. And, you know, something's wrong. You said you came to give us life abundantly, and I am not feeling the love here. And you know what? God is more interested in us finding our purpose than we are. And how do I know that? I know that because of, what is it? I think it's Luke 12:7. It's also in Matthew. But the scripture tells us that the very hairs on our head are numbered. And that means that every day, guys who are listening, when you look in the sink and you see that, oh, gosh, I dropped another hair, getting a little balder on top, or when I pick up my hairbrush and I see there's hairs in it, that means that God had to recount because we've lost. I mean, that. What I'm trying to say is he cares about the minute details of our lives, how many hairs are on our head at any given moment. And he certainly cares about us fulfilling the purpose for which he made us, and he wants us to know. I mean, but we have to be willing to get still for a while and quiet for a little while, even if it's just a little while each day, to learn to listen to God. You know, we're so used to instant things now. We just, you know, instant everything. And I've found myself, I get impatient with God sometimes. That's not a smart thing to do. But it's like, oh, God, you made a donkey talk. Can't you make my dog talk and just tell me what you want me to do? And that's not the way God works. So
Taking the time out is valuable any time to be still and to know that he's God. I'm interested as you talk about, you know, this journey to find purpose and meaning and advance God's kingdom. I think sometimes people wonder, well, does that mean that I quit work and I move into a service of some, you know, a nonprofit something? Do I quit my job? Is that what it means to move into significance, to become someone that's volunteering in a nonprofit?
Absolutely not. It doesn't. You know, that's a big misconception in America, in American churches, that, you know, if you're going to be in the ministry, that means you better quit what you're doing and go to seminary and, you know, either become an evangelist or a preacher or a missionary or something like, or work for a nonprofit. If you're going to really do God's will, you know what? It's all about attitude. There's not secular and sacred. Everything that we do, when we do it with the attitude that this is how God made me and I'm carrying on his creation, I mean, that's what God wants us to do. You know, it's just you don't have to quit your job and join a nonprofit to do significant things. Now, God may call you to do that, okay? He may. He may have gifted you to do that and given you a passion about that. But you'll know. Some people he calls who have maybe just been living for themselves and just, you know, the job has just been about success or gaining, you know, building your 401k. And they say, you know what, I do love my job, but I realize my attitude hasn't been right. And I really want to be a giver. I want to give more. And so the halftime process helps you connect with what you're passionate about and then help you connect with wonderful things that you can do. Like, it's like a parallel track. So you have your job, which is your ministry in the plant or at the bank or at the school, whatever God has called you to do. Then you might be doing something else, volunteering. Or he might call you just to stay right where you are, doing right where you, you know, just be, using the leverage and the leadership that he's given you wherever you are to maybe, you know, start a Bible study at lunch at your company. I've just been hearing fabulous stories of people who say, you know what, God confirmed to me I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do. I'm just going to see it differently as a ministry. And it becomes so much more personally fulfilling doing God's will, and the work takes on a new significance for you.
I'm wondering if sometimes we have years of experience, skill. You talk about sort of using the leverage and leadership, that maybe we really overlook the opportunities we have, right around us to be more purposeful in the way that God has equipped and gifted us.
Absolutely. One of the things that we do at Halftime is we're very committed to helping people be lifelong learners. And recently we had an event where Jim Collins spoke. You might know that name. He wrote Built to Last, Good to Great. And Bob Buford had asked Jim to speak to halftimers, and they were from age, late 30s to 80. Okay, so it's like this applies to a lot of people. But Jim, who does a lot of research, very data-driven, he said, you know what, everything before you're 50 pretty much is just preparation, because you're accruing this experience. And, he said that if we do the second half right, that our second half can very well dwarf our first half. Our next years really can be our best years, because we've gained wisdom. We know what's more important. We're able to, live in sync more with our priorities. Now, nobody ever arrives. We're all still working on this, but it's a delight to do this in a community of other people who are committed to, making the world a better place, ministering wherever God has put them, in Africa or at a bank, or they're just committed to using the time and the energy, the wisdom they've accrued, the experience. They're leveraging the network of people they've met over the years, the treasure he's allowed them to accrue. Use that to spread the gospel and spread God's kingdom influence through every sector of society, every industry. I mean, that's our mandate, I think, as Christians, to do that.
Kathy, just as you talked about, having opportunity to hear Jim Collins and the wide age range, I'm wondering, is this, when we're thinking about halftime, it seems like, well, we think, well, 50s or so, but should we be thinking about this? I mean, women listening today, is this something we ought to be thinking about in our 30s as much as when we get to 50 or 60?
I wish I had done that. Let me just say that, because it's so easy to just get caught up. Yes, caught up in raising the kids or balancing the career and the family manager job, and it's hard to look ahead and to see, wow, I really need to be thinking about what God wants me to do when the kids leave, or when I retire, or for many people, the company may have closed or whatever, and it's important. Now, I'm speaking mainly to women here, because a lot of times it's easy for us to say, oh, I'm so busy taking care of everyone else, I don't have time to take care of myself. And if we're not thinking about, gosh, I need to be continually improving my mind and growing spiritually and taking care of my body and learning how to be a good friend in community, and they feel guilty if they take time to do things that they enjoy, and then they end up, the kids leave, and they don't really know who they are, who God made them to be. And, I mean, it's never too late. It's always a good idea to ask that question, but I wish I had asked it earlier. I just didn't see the whole midlife thing coming. And we are in a different age, okay? People are living longer now. And women, gosh, in America, if you make it to 60 and the Lord does not return, you have a pretty good chance of making it to, your mid-80s now. And I'm convinced that God is not up in heaven scratching his head and saying, wow, I sure didn't mean for, all this to just reel out of control, and I only had a purpose for people until they, were 50 or 60 or so. No, he has a purpose for putting us on planet Earth at this particular time in history. And if we live longer, let's live it well. And that's going to bring God the most glory, and it's going to bring us the most satisfaction too.
Talking about the second half, about how we can address those questions. What's next? Where's my meaning and purpose? How to make my life count now? Kathy Peel is helping us with that. She's the director of the Halftime Initiative. We've known Kathy from her books, which have sold millions of books like The Busy Mom's Guide to Happy Organized Home and Be Your Best and Desperate Households. And she's the founder of the Family Manager brand, Family Manager University, and has taken on this new assignment to help coach and direct and teach about finding our calling and our purpose and understanding God's kingdom advance. Now we can be a part of that. Halftime Women's Initiative is our topic. We'll get to a question or two here coming up around the break as well, and we'd welcome your call at 877-933-2484. Or you can always drop us a note online. It's myfaithradio.com. That's our website, myfaithradio.com. And then you can click on the Connecting Faith show page to get a link there. We'll talk more with Kathy in just a moment here on Connecting Faith.
What are you willing to do to go beyond the call? This is Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global. Hosea was about to slam the door on the white man's face. "I don't want your stupid Spanish Bible," he said. Detecting an accent, the missionary switched from Spanish to Quechua. Hosea, who was Quechua by heritage, was impressed and finally agreed to take the Bible. Though an infamous drunkard, Hosea was intelligent and bilingual, and after reading the Spanish New Testament, ready for a change. Jesus said, "I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Hosea opened more than a door to a missionary. He opened the door to eternal life for himself and the people he loved. You see, God used Hosea to translate the New Testament into the Quechua language. Are you willing to open the door? Go beyond the call, and then visit us online at hcjb.org.
Trajectory of our life from success to significance. So how does that happen? Well, there's a great resource called the Halftime Women's Initiative, which Kathy Peel directs, and it can make a big difference in our life. In fact, you can find out more all about it at the website halftime.org. I'd recommend Bob Buford's book, which came out a number of years ago, and you can probably find it really cheap on Amazon by now. I don't know, but it's well worth reading. Kathy has written a number of books herself and has been a busy speaker and business owner with the Family Manager of University, and talking with us today about halftime. And Kathy, I did have a caller who says we were talking about, women in their 50 plus spending, 24 hours a week in video games. Hard to imagine. But so this caller says she has a good friend in the second half of life who is an ordained minister and actually uses online gaming as a way to reach out to and build relationships with those in the online world. I'd just like to get your perspective on that.
You know what? I think that's great. That's moderation, and somebody needs to minister to those people, okay? So God could very well use online gaming, whether it's Scrabble or I'm trying to remember some of the other names I've heard that people play. I was talking to a gentleman about this a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about the statistic, and he said, I have really noticed that my wife, she just, she plays this thing called Doors. Now, I don't know what Doors are, but anyway, there are some great things. I mean, I love building brain power. And so when you have some downtime, when I'm on a plane, you might very well find me playing Sudoku if I'm not reading, a book on Kindle. technology is wonderful. So I don't want to sound like I'm a Luddite or something. I'm just saying moderation, and it just shows me that something's wrong someplace when we have so many people playing an average of 24.56 hours a week over 50. That tells me there are a lot of bored people in the world. You know, another disturbing statistic about women is that, you know, in America, divorce overall has declined, and for various reasons, some of them not good, but overall divorce has declined. But for people over 50, it has doubled over the past 20 years. And women 49 to 69 are initiating 66% of those divorces. Again, that tells me there are just a lot of women, and I meet them. I meet a lot of them, too, who are just – they're just looking at what's going to make me happy. You know, should I get rid of this husband? Should I, you know, try something new? Shall I go buy something new? Shall I take another trip? Shall I redecorate the house? That is never going to work. And the earlier we figure that out, the better. And I want to make sure that our listeners, Neil, know that there are some great resources on the halftime.org website. Certainly, some of our listeners, there's some of you out there that you probably need to consider the Halftime Institute and coaching. It was a phenomenal experience. God used it in a big way in my life. Others, you might just want to, you could download, there's a new Introduction to Halftime. It's a 6 weeks small group study. It's free on the halftime.org website. You also might want to take the Halftime Self-Assessment and kind of gauge yourself. Well, you know, am I on a trajectory towards my next years? Is it positive? Are there some things I want to change? So that self-assessment is also very helpful. We're starting webinars very soon. They're going to be free, middle of the day, and I'm going to do them. So they're geared towards women, but men, a great thing you can do is understand where your wife is at this halftime life juncture, because there you can be a great part of it and be very helpful during it. But when you go to the halftime.org website, be sure to sign up for Kathy's blog, and we will keep you informed about those free webinars. Our purpose is to help Christians, Neil, is to help Christians fulfill their Ephesians 2:10 calling. Because we are all, each of us is God's workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Many people, when they read that verse, they think good works. That means serving at the homeless shelter. That's a good thing to do, okay? That is a good thing to do, but that's the things that we say, oh, I'm going to help an elderly person with a book, with a door. That's good works. No, that word work means all kinds of work. God prepared us ahead of time, and he gave us the gifts to carry on his kingdom doing work that'll be a blessing to the world. And you get blessed by doing that on the backstroke. It's interesting how if your goal is to be happy or your goal is to be successful, you never will be, because those things, you'll enjoy success if you only look at it through God's eyes, that he gave me these gifts that allowed me to reach this goal or to, you know, build my 401k, and then you know that everything belongs to him, okay? And it helps. You start seeing life through a different lens, and you'll just find that your stress level drops. And, again, God is more interested in our fulfilling our purpose than we are. And certainly all of us want to, you know, pursue that. Those of us who are Christians, well, you know, everybody wants. There's, as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, the secular, the mainstream sources are all talking about the importance of having a larger purpose in your life. And for those of us who are Christians, we know that the number one purpose is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and to be, grow as Jesus did in wisdom, stature, knowledge of God. I mean, there are a lot of things we know about our calling. Okay, we know that God wants us to take the gospel. We're called to be God's ambassadors. I think that's 2 Corinthians, maybe 5:20. Okay, we are to be his ambassadors. And so it's not like he hasn't told us some of the things that are our purpose. And I found out the hard way, and I continue to be sometimes a very tough subject for God because I get impatient. But I've just found out that when we seek him, okay, and just try to and say, God, I'm desperate. I'm a slow learner. It seems like other people are in the Eagles reading group and I'm in the Sparrow reading group or whatever. I'm slower. But have mercy. And he does. He does. He has mercy. He loves us right where we are. He redeems past mistakes. A lot of people are living in the past because we've all made mistakes. We've all done stuff we really wish we hadn't done. We're so thankful there's not a video tape playing. God sees us as holy and blameless, which is amazing. We're covered with Christ's blood. And sometimes I believe the evil one wants to blind us for that. He wants us to be confused about how much God loves us. He wants us to be confused about our purpose. Because when he lost us, when we accepted Christ and Satan lost us for eternity, he certainly wants to ruin our lives on earth. And so I encourage our listeners to think about these things. Think about what is your calling, what is your purpose, and know that God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. He's more interested in your discovering your purpose than you are, and this is what's going to make you the most fulfilled as a child of God and make a difference in the world.
I would encourage you to just sort of review Ephesians 2:10 again and maybe 2 Corinthians 5 and just review again the resources that are available at the website halftime.org, you know, whether it's the 6-week study or self-assessment or whatever it might be, just some great resources there and find out more about the Halftime Women's Initiative, especially if you're maybe in the 40s or 50s or beyond, and you're asking some of those questions about what's next or my meaning and purpose, how can I make my life count? That's the whole purpose of Halftime, and Kathy Peel is leading the way there, and we have been inspired today, Kathy. Our time is gone already, but it's just been a good hour to remind us again that God has a plan and purpose for us, and he knows what's best for us, so if we get plugged into his plans and purposes, it's going to make a difference in our life. Kathy, blessings to you. So glad to have you back on Connecting Faith today.
Always good to be with you, Neil. It's obvious you are doing what God called you to do, and I just pray he will continue to bless you and your ministry.
Kathy Peel joining us today. Kathy, director of the Halftime Women's Initiative. Find out more online, halftime.org. And, of course, we'll have a link up on our website as well. And if you missed part of the broadcast or you want to send this to a friend who is maybe asking some of those questions, you can do that by going to our website at myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. And you'll have opportunity to pass it on, share it with a friend, and look forward to having you join us again tomorrow right here on Connecting Faith.